Good morning. Welcome to the Blacklands Cafe. I'm John Mark Dempsey. Have a cup of coffee on the house. It's Tuesday, October 29th. Sharing a table with us in the cafe this morning, former A&M Commerce political science professor, Dr. Charles Elliott. Birthdays, actor Richard Dreyfuss, 66 today. Actress Winona Ryder, 42. This day in history, in 1929, Black Tuesday, following Black Thursday on the New York Stock Exchange as the stock market goes into free fall, leading to the Great Depression.
October 29th. Morgan's bankers could no longer stem the tide. It was like trying to stop Niagara Falls. Everyone wanted to sell. AT&T down 50%. RCA, once $110 a share, couldn't find buyers at 26. On the floor, they had never seen anything like it.
And it was just like a nightmare.
On October 29th, 1956, the Suez Crisis in the Middle East begins as Israel invades Egypt, after Egyptian leader Gamal Nasser nationalized the Suez Canal.
The Suez Canal, storm center of controversy for weeks, now becomes a cause of war in a lightning sequence of diplomatic and military moves. Since its seizure and nationalization by President Nasser of Egypt, the vital waterway has precipitated a new crisis in the already tense Middle East, even as Israel, in a lightning attack, thrusts deep into Egypt to the vicinity of the canal.
On October 29th, 1998, John Glenn, the first American to orbit the Earth, at the age of 77, returns to space for the first time in 36 years.
The crew's been awake for about an hour now.
We are watching incoming television pictures from NASA.
They have had their morning meal and are right on the timeline this morning.
When John Glenn lifts off from that pad, he'll reignite the meaning of real achievement.
And we do have the flight crew getting suited up. And we've got payload specialist number 2, John Glenn.
Number 1 on the charts this day in 1972, one of the first reggae hits, Johnny Nash, and I Can See Clearly Now.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind.
On the KETR events calendar in Honey Grove this evening, retired Secret Service agent Mike Howard will speak on the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. As we approach the 50th anniversary of that terrible event, Mike worked for 3 presidents, including President Kennedy. The event will be at the Bertha Voyer Memorial Library in Honey Grove at 5:30 p.m. The library is located at 500 North 6th Street. The event is sponsored by Humanities Texas. For more information, call 903-669-2151. That's 903-669-2151. Retired Secret Service agent Mike Howard speaking this evening in Honey Grove on the John F. Kennedy assassination. Our guest in the cafe this morning is former A&M Commerce Political Science Department head, Dr. Charles Elliott. Charles will be serving as an observer of the political scene with us from time to time. Of course, we just finished the whole thing. I call it a debacle, Charles, involving the debt ceiling and the government shutdown. What were your observations of that?
I think debacle says a lot. To start with, there is a movement that's developed back in the far corners of American politics, largely on the part of people who have been unaware, uninterested, uninvolved for an awful long time. And somebody told them one day that we have a $X trillion national debt, and they went off in all directions. It's true that we have the debt. It's not true that we have to pay it off.
Oh, no? What can we do instead?
Well, what you do is these credit instruments, whether they're treasury bills or whatever they are, have expiration dates. And what you do is you pay off each batch as it comes due. But the United States government will never be and should not be out of debt. Now, it may be building debt too fast or sometimes not fast enough. There are times if you're at or near full employment and there's some inflationary pressures beginning to bubble up, then that's a pretty good time for the government to reduce what it spends. and take some of the pressure out of the marketplace. And it can do it by taxing more, spending less, a variety of ways. And it also can bring pressure to bear on the private sector to change some of its habits. And there are other times, and this is one of the things that we didn't do terribly well in 2008, 2009. There are other times when you really do need to overspend considerably in order to keep the economy from collapsing, or at least from, you know, moving into recession.
Do you have concern about the debt that is owned by the Chinese and other countries? Is that something that we should be worried about?
No. We are the reserve currency for the world. That's the best possible position to be in, because it means that, in effect, somebody's buying your credit instruments. Now, and this is one of the things that I find interesting. Warren Buffett the other night in an interview said that it's just plumb silly to have a debt limit. And what the economists tell us, people like Joseph Stiglitz and Paul Krugman.
Right.
Is that you shouldn't have a debt limit. For instance, it just invites mischief, as we've just seen.
I have wondered about that. If we're always going to raise the debt limit, then why have a debt limit?
Well, what these guys have argued is that you know when you're overspending and you're pressing too much, when you start having to pay higher rates of interest. So, and it's just one of those things that invites some kind of minority shenanigans to tie up the system.
Mm-hmm.
I don't take Ted Cruz to be a fool. He's smart. And he knew going into this process how it was going to end, how it had to end. And yet he pushed it anyway. And there are a lot of people down here in whatever county you want to pick out that were really terribly surprised that that didn't work. And there are still people who think we should have just pushed it. And if things go to hell in a handbasket, so be it. And that, of course, won't work at all. We could literally trash the world economy if we just shut it down altogether and kept it shut.
Charles, for people who are entirely frustrated by what they've seen happening in recent times, what do you recommend to those folks?
You sure you want me to tell you?
Yeah, please.
No, I think that there are two or three things that work. One is the notion that one goes into politics for the sake of pursuing a set of principles. If you've got any sense at all and you want to go into politics, what you're looking for is to establish some sort of operating relationship that will always, I think, or should always, result in some sort of compromise. And these people, some of them, see compromise as a form of weakness. The other thing that bothers me quite a bit is the way we reapportion our House of Representatives and our state legislatures. Iowa has a system that is sort of politically neutral, but most of us do it through the state legislatures. And what we're doing is we're grouping all these Republican counties here and all these Democratic counties here, and we're sending people to the legislature and the Congress who can't be punished.
Charles, we're about out of time here, and this is fascinating, and we will continue the discussion another time. Charles Elliott, former Political Science Department Head at A&M Commerce, thanks for having a cup of coffee with us this morning.
Thanks for inviting me.
You're starting the day with Morning Edition on your station, 88.9 KETR.